Father, I thank you for this man. I thank you for him and Nuala, for their passion. Lord Jesus, I thank you for their hunger to see your kingdom come, for their energy levels, Lord Jesus. And just want to say thank you for them being part of this family, for the encouragement they are to us all to get out and demonstrate your love to those that most need it. And so we open our ears, we open our hearts to hear what you've got to say to us through them today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much. Right, I've been asked to speak about Hong Kong because I lived there for about 12 years of my life, and a lot of the major things that have happened in my life happened in Hong Kong. So I want to take you actually on a journey to Hong Kong. I want you to experience something about Hong Kong. I want you to feel something about Hong Kong. So then, when you think about Sue Exelby, who is a river missionary in Hong Kong, you'll have a sort of picture in your mind. Now then, I need to get that clicking thing, don't I? So, there we are. Let's give you a few facts about Hong Kong. There are 7.2 million people in Hong Kong, in an area which is 427 square miles. It's the fourth most densely populated sovereign state in the world. But it's a hugely exciting place. It really is. As you walk around the streets, there's something happening. It's a terribly, a very good, diverse community. The breakdown by religion, there are 859,000 Christians. There are 1 million Buddhists. There are 1 million Taoists. There are 100,000 Muslims. Now, that's an interesting environment to be in. The underlying culture is probably Confucian with Buddhists and Taoists, and there are temples all over the place. But there are 859,000 Christians, and so they're not. Those aren't all sort of Western expatriates. These are Chinese believers, and I remember when we were adopting Mark, we went to the social services people, and the lady said to me, well, how are you going to bring your child up to understand his culture? So I said to her, what do you mean by that? She said, well, you know, going to the temple and Buddhism and all that. And I said, well, look, an awful lot of my Chinese friends are Christian, so I don't really see that as part of the culture. However, it is a problem. When the church that we are in, they ministered to drug addicts and street people and things like that. And a lot of the guys, when they came to that, when they were born, they were dedicated to idols. And they can tell you which idol they were dedicated to. And they'd have a little ceramic statue. And they knew which idol they'd been dedicated to. And what often happened is when they became Christians and they wanted to be baptized, they would bring those figures, ceramic figures, and they'd smash them on the ground. And they'd go into the baptism and then they'd come up. And then truly, the old had passed away and all things were new. We had an experience in a young adults group which you met in our house. And Jackie Pullinger was actually there that evening. And there was one girl, she'd become a Christian, but she just couldn't move on in her Christian life. And she wanted prayer. So Jackie started talking to her. She said, you know, were you dedicated to an idol when you were a baby? And she said yes. And then she started to totally freak out. And we had all these young people who'd only recently become Christians and filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were, you know, what is going on? And Jackie said, look, this is not a sideshow. So take half of the people out into another room. And so I took half of them off into our bedroom, actually. And we started to pray. And we started to pray in tongues. We started to sing. And you have never known a group of people grow up so fast in spiritual gifts. There was just incredible sense of the power of the Holy Spirit. In the other room, Jackie said to this guy, he said, look, just say what the name of the idol that you're dedicated to was, and then just renounce that name, and then you will be set free. And it took her quite a long time to be able to do that. Ultimately, she did. And as a result of that, well, she went on. She went to YWAM, actually, and she's moved on in a Christian faith. And, you know, people talk about idolatry these days, and they don't really think it. They think, oh, well, yeah, that means in this culture, maybe it's money. But there are an awful lot of people. You go to a garden centres, and you see these Buddhist heads, and you get other people. They go on holiday, and they buy these sort of idols, basically. In Deuteronomy, it says, don't bring an idol into your house, because it's something that God really doesn't like. So I'm not putting any pressure on anyone who's got one of these things, but I would encourage you to pray about whether it's something you really want in your home. And if you want to borrow a sledgehammer, I have one. Okay, I put two churches there just because I was involved with them. And, you know, I look at our church now, and we've got, what, about 60 or so people here. That one there, the Vine Church, that used to have, used to be called the Repulse Bay Baptist Church. And it had about 60 people in it, and that was about 30 years ago. And now it's become the Vine. They bought a cinema. They have 3,000 people turning up on a weekend. They have about four or five different services. This other one, the Island Evangelical Community, that's the same. That's grown from very little to a huge. And it's not, they're all local Chinese people who are going along. There's a real hunger. And within the other churches, there's a hunger for God. And of course, Hong Kong acts as a sort of clearing spot for China. Now then, what I want to do next is just to, so you really do understand, when Mike married Angelica, Paul and Wendy came over, and they had a perception in their mind of what Hong Kong was like. I think they sort of lots of Chinese takeaways in a few huts. Obviously, Hong Kong is a lot more than that. And so I just want to show you a video which will just show you what Hong Kong is really like.
Hong Kong is located on the southern coast of the People's Republic of China.
So that's given you a bit of a feel for the place. And if you decide to go there, there's only one condition. You do have to get on one of those ferries they were talking about over to Chung Chau and see Sue and encourage her. The next phase of this journey that you're on is to hear from a woman who had something pretty horrible happen in her life. She said, I don't want to cry, so I'll do it for her. But she decided she was going to pick herself up and she was going to move forward. And she ended up as a missionary in Hong Kong. And I just want her to share with us her testimony. So here's a picture of her. I just told her I'd introduce. This is Ralph and Nuala on their wedding day. She got married when she was 19 years old, which is far too early. And sadly, Ralph died when she was 24. But it's over to you.
Thank you. This was up in Zambia. We got married in Zambia. And one of the songs sung at our wedding as a solo was from The Lord Is My Shepherd. And after that, I could really see, looking back, how much God did lead me and guide me. And part of that was, Ralph being in South Africa for 2 years, came, we got married, went back to South Africa, which is where we set up home. And during his illness, which is from a brain tumor, I could really see God's faithfulness to us in provision, in where we were. And one of his managers had phoned up to a church in Johannesburg, and somebody from that church went and prayed with Ralph. So before he died, he became a Christian. And for that, I'm extremely grateful. It was still a long process. After a few months, I thought I'm only in South Africa because of John, so I began to travel. I went around Europe, and where are the other photos? I went around Europe, and I had several friends I wanted to see, and they were in Greece, and the Philippines. So I booked a mileage ticket, that took me across Asia. I went through Pakistan, India, Nepal, and there I tried to contact a church. It was quite difficult in Nepal because they were very underground at the time, and so they couldn't get me involved. I went trekking and with my Sherpa, and partway through I thought, what am I doing here? Miles from anywhere. Of course, this was in the 70s, no, 80, 81. So there's nowhere to phone home, middle of the mountains. And along came another girl on her own with a Sherpa, and we joined up, and she was a Christian. So it was really neat for me to see how God led me. And then came to Hong Kong, and I thought, oh, I'm so fed up with Asia, I want to leave. But I had friends there, we knew from Zambia. And they said, don't leave, you've got a British passport, you can work. So I got a job for a couple of weeks, and they said, we'll try and find you somewhere to live, you can't stay with us for very long. And they're the ones that took me down to what turned out to be YWAM. I'd never heard of YWAM, but they were working with the Vietnamese refugees. And I thought, oh, I want to join you. And they said, well, we don't take people off the street, but we will pray about it. Well, I won't hear from you again. So I went back to my work. And Mrs. Campbell got a call from them saying, we feel the Lord's led you to us. You can join us and work part-time with the refugees, which is what we did. We had the Vietnamese were coming in by boat. They were fleeing from war in their own country and being put in refugee camps where they would live in huge, well, I don't know, buildings like this, but twice as long, with three-tier bunks and a family per tier. So the TV, the cooking, and everything on one tier. But YWAM had cleaned up the camp. Thankfully, before I got there, they cleaned all the sewage and made it really nice. And that's how they got in and got this building for $1 a year from the government. And we worked with the children, 90 kids in a room about this size, and taught them hygiene, taught them the basics. And then another team came and they didn't need me anymore. And so I just worked around this base. It was an old British military hospital. This had bullet holes from the Japanese occupation. And in came a Far East evangelism team, Feet Team, with Gary Stevens. His brother led for many years the Mercy Ships ministry. Well, Gary and his wife Helen led Feet Team. He said, why don't you join us? I said, well, 50 people is a lot, but I'll join you. And we went off through, after 6 weeks of worship and training in dance and drama, we divided into three teams. And our team, I'm second row back, second from the left, we went through China, which in those days was still wearing the Mao suits, through Mongolia to Russia, southern Russia, and across to Japan, and then to South Korea. And in South Korea, we spent an evening at Yonggi Cho's church, sharing at 2 in the morning. They have an all-night prayer meeting for the youth, and like a huge cinema, and they pray and doze and pray again. And China, and we were followed. We had the same tour group leader. We couldn't go non-tours in those days. And for me, it was a really highlight. We had a close team. Came back to Hong Kong, had an outreach there, and then Gary said to me, why don't you go and do a DTS in Hawaii? And so off to Hawaii, I went via the Philippines to see my friends. And again, it was a special time. 3 months in the Big Island, and then 3 months outreach in Oahu, which was amongst the prostitutes and drug addicts, and Waikiki with the tourists. And then I did a few bit more with YWAM in Australia, where I had friends, and Kenya. I spent 6 weeks with them to see a relative of mine. And there we sort of would bag up food to take up to the villages, but they had nothing. This is going back to 1982 by now. They had nothing in their villages. And we would share the gospel. We'd give out soap and rice and beans, share the gospel. And then I went back to South Africa, and I spent 2.5 years there, but always my heart was back for Hong Kong. And so I went back in 85, and initially I was in the kitchen, 6 hours a day in the extreme heat and humidity in the kitchen. Gary said, you don't want to tell somebody that you can do office work? I said, please. And then he very kindly came to me one day and said, two of the girls I was with on the team, I want you to start a kindergarten, a Christian kindergarten, for the public, not just YWAM, but for the public. Would I be the administrator? I thought that'd be great. Barb and Gail were wonderful ladies. And so we worked together. And so on that big building was part of it we were able to take over, and we had to renovate it. We had feet teams and DTSs come through, and they would renovate. And we had to start up with, you know, the whole education system, and we began a really wonderful kindergarten for 3 to 5 year olds with the Christian curriculum about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit through the year. They had to have a scripture every week that would take home, and so it was a way of sharing with the parents as well. And at some point in that time, John and I met, and we were married in 87. So it's really, and we were married in Hong Kong, which was home to us. YWAM was like my family. You know, God says he places the lonely in a family. and we're married, and we spent after that a couple of years in Taiwan, 3 years in Taiwan, and back to Hong Kong, and we were able to adopt Mark and Ashley while we were there, which is amazing. And then this is Iran, and John can go on from there. But we, we're very blessed, really. It's how to God can lead and guide. Yeah, it's just been exciting. Thank you.
Well done.
I think there are two great things about that testimony. One is, you know, I don't mind standing up in front of people, but Nuala hates it. Yet she's stepped up. And I really would encourage all of you, you know, any of you here can do anything within the church if you just say you want to do that. And I'd really encourage you to take a step. Also, the faithfulness of God. You know, can you imagine what it's like when you're 24 to have your husband die? And then you say, right, what am I going to do now? And she had alternatives. I mean, she could have just felt sorry for herself for years and years, but she decided, no, I'm going to step out. I'm going to push into God, and life changed. Right. Better get up to my place now, hadn't I? Right. Now then, we were involved with Jackie Pullinger's church, and one of the main scriptures that Jackie's ministry is based on, if you haven't read Chasing the Dragon, then please get a copy of it, is Isaiah 58. And Angelica is going to come and read that for us. And I want you to listen very carefully to all of her words, all right, because they're very important.
以赛亚书第58章5至14节。这样禁食，岂是我所拣选，使人刻苦己心的日子么？岂是叫人垂头像位子，用麻布和炉灰铺在他以下么？你这可称为禁食，为耶和华所悦纳的日子么？ 我所拣选的禁食，不是要松开凶狠的绳，解下握上的索，使被欺压的得自由，截断一切的轭么？不是要把你的饼分给饥饿的人，将漂流的穷人接到你家中，见赤身的给他衣服遮体，固恤自己的骨肉而不掩藏么？这样你的光 就必发现如早晨的光，你所得的医治要速速发明，你的公义必在你前面行，耶和华的荣光必作你的后盾。那时你求告耶和华必应允，你呼求他必说我在这里。你若从你从中间除掉重压和指责人的指头， 并发恶言的事，你心若向饥饿的人发怜悯，使困苦的人得满足，你的光就必在黑暗中发现，你的幽暗必变如正午。耶和华也必时常引导你，在干旱之地使你的心满意足，骨头强壮。你必像晓冠的原子，又像水流不绝的泉源。 那些出于你的人必修造以荒废之处，你要建立拆毁累代的根基，你必称为补破口的和重修路径与人居住的。你若在安息日谨慎你的脚步，在我圣日不以操作为喜乐，称安息日为可喜乐的，称耶和华的圣人为可尊重的。 而且尊重这日，不辨自己的私事，不随自己的私话，你就以耶和华为乐。耶和华要使你承驾他的高处，又以你祖亚国的产业养育你。这是耶和华亲口说的。
Thank you. So finally, there's one person from River who has answered that call and has gone to Hong Kong. And Sue XLB, she runs a work amongst the migrant workers, and there are lots of migrant workers, domestic helpers working in people's homes and so on. And she set up this extraordinary work, and she has sent us another short video, actually, just us specifically for this day. And she sent me an email yesterday and just saying that she and all her people were praying for us. So we'll watch that now. After that, we're going to have a time of prayer for the churches in Hong Kong, for Jackie's work and for Sue, and then we'll have communion. And then that, I think, will be the end of our meeting.